Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michelle. You are with me on Dr. Michelle Live. We are walking this road together. I am back in sunny Southern California from cold and rainy and stormy and dark Oregon, where I guess I must have gone just before they were due to have a shocking weather change like today or tomorrow. At least that was forecasted, where it's going to be very cold and sunny and wintry and all gorgeous. And for some reason, I got there right as the clouds set in and we just were bombarded by this dark, cloudy, ominous type skyline every single day. So it added a little element to the day, to the week that I was there, to Christmas season. We started a couple days ago, began a topic of teen suicide. And that was something, as I had said in the podcast, you can check that out. The podcast from this week, last week, they're all on redboxmedia.podbean.com. Wanted to start this week to prepare us for the new year, 2016, looking forward, looking positive, rewiring our brains, hardwired to heal, hardwired for happiness, hardwired to look forward. And in the middle of that preparation came some news that someone that I am acquainted with, that a friend of theirs' son committed suicide and died on Christmas Day. And it was very sobering, and I never expected to begin the journey into this topic at this time. But as I tell you, I really do open up and just say whatever you want, whatever topic is something that's necessary now. It has been ever since I started with the radio way back with a different radio station. If I thought if one person hears one thing that they need, then it's worth it, and I'm going to do it. And that was probably 12, 13 years ago. So I've been doing this a while, and I still have that. I still believe that. I still want that. I still go for it, for the same thing. That's part of my prayer. If there's one person out there that needs to hear one thing, one sentence, even if it's something so off the mark of what I'm saying, it doesn't matter. This is why I'm here. This is why I do what I do. So this is a very serious topic. And part of my goal here is to alert you to how serious it is, that any threat of suicide, any talk of suicide, talk of not wanting to be here, sudden change in behavior, you take very, very seriously. Now today, I want to go through some things. I want to recap. I was traveling yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to take the next step, explore further the different warning signs and who's at risk, what might be linked, what might not be linked, what you do, what you think, what ups your chances, who's at risk. So we're going to go into some of that today. We're going to probably finish out the week with this. I also want to read to you something that was published in AmericanCatholic.org. I think we have some special responsibility and also some special blind spots and some special muddy waters that we need to address. Get them out in the open and not be so muddy, because the very things that cause us confusion and conflict as Catholics, they can help seed and almost they can help alienate people. an alienation, isolation, feeling like you are you have nowhere to go, that your life situation is hopeless. What's one of the risk factors of suicide ideation? Suicidal ideation is what they call it, thinking about suicide. And I mentioned to you, and you can look up that podcast, in the beginning of the week, it was ironic to me that I looked when, I mean, I was surprised that 78% of completed suicides, so there's suicide attempts and then there's completed suicides, of completed suicides are done by males. We have a high percentage of our elderly or older adult males in their 70s who commit suicide. Middle age people are very prone, from 45 to 54, 44, 54, somewhere in there. It's just a range. Men more than completed more than women. Women attempt more than men. And but teens, very high, and it's getting higher. So I think we need to make this, we need to take this very, very, very seriously. So let's go into what are teen suicide risk factors. So I want to kind of throw this in a little bit different light, just to begin with. If you look around the world, there are certain populations, certain cultures where suicide is higher. And in the industrialized nations where suicide is very high among young people, is a high stress. The culture itself is very high stress. The emphasis of the culture is on achievement, getting into a certain school. We as people, as human beings, can have such tunnel vision that in that moment, we see no other, we feel such despair that we see no future for ourselves. And that's one of the warning signs. If you can't project a future, what do you see for yourself? And not for yourself, but do you see yourself in the future? Somehow, somewhere, even if it's just in a state of confusion, do you see yourself in the future? We had it, even in this country, a lot of suicides during the huge crash back in the 20s, 1920s. Lots of suicide because people saw that the money that they had, the desperation they were going to face. Sometimes life situations are so hard and we can't wait to get on the other side of it, that people attempt suicide and then they commit suicide. So first, keep in your mind that even though you as an observer may be able to see that what someone else is claiming as their reason to not have a reason to go on, that what they're claiming is very real to them. Even if you have all the reasons in the world, it's not so bad. Look what can happen here. When someone is at that point, again, take it always seriously. I gave you, and it should be on my old podcast, I'll say it again, this program, the phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, and I will have that up, and I will look that up and get that to you on the other side of our break. But we want to look and say that, first of all, many, especially now, but every generation can say especially now, in the face of high, high stress and confusion, a lot of young people, with the combination of, let's say, their hormones going up and down, big growth spurts, not so growth spurts, changes in hormones they don't understand, lots of things happening, lots of emotions they never thought would happen, both girls and boys. And you look at just a regular teen and how devastated they can become by one of their friends dying or the family splitting up or family problems. Their minds get going, then they have their own female and male hormones just raging through their bodies. It's really, really tough. But suicide is the third leading cause of death among people, girls, boys, between the ages of 15 and 24. That is the third leading cause of death. And boys, because you would, and somehow it's kind of counterintuitive when I talk to people, they have the assumption that girls die more by suicide than boys. Boys comprise 84%. So young boys between 15 and 24 comprise 84% of all completed suicides. There are girls who may attempt it more, may talk about it more, but boys are 84% of all suicides between the ages of 15 and 24 are made up of males. But the attempted suicides greatly outnumber the suicides. So we have to remember that. Males often choose more lethal methods and more violent methods than girls do, but girls attempt it. And you have to take that as we will see in this program, just a prior attempt is a risk failure, a risk factor for a completed suicide. So if someone has an attempt, even if it seems, if they're young and it seems like it wouldn't work, it's still an attempt. So let's say they're young and they felt that moment, and you may look at it and say, well, they couldn't have been serious, or you cannot make that judgment. We're going to talk more about that too. So females will attempt more often, but males will complete more often. So 10%, now we have a wide range of different age groups that have within the age group, as I said, 44 to 55, and then again, males when they're in their 70s, that tend to have clusters where there's more suicides, more completed suicides. One myth I want, before we get to the other side of the break, I also want to bring up is that speaking about it puts the idea in someone's head. It's actually the opposite. Speaking about it takes it out in the open, takes it out into a black and white situation. And when you do that, like talking about any black and white situation, it makes it more tangible and more like a problem that we can get over together. So when we come back from the break, we're going to explore this more. We're going to go into more aspects of teen suicide and what you can do about it. We'll see you on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can call us at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can always email Dr. Michelle Live at breadboxmedia.com, DrMichelleLive at breadboxmedia.com. We're talking about suicide. We're talking about teen suicide. Now, what I say for teens works for all of you. Gave you already the statistics, the cluster age groups. That doesn't mean that anywhere along the line that doesn't happen. So in my own family, someone committed suicide when they were 23. Somebody else had a 15-year-old, not in my family, but 15-year-old. Sometimes they're elderly, 83, 84. They get a bad diagnosis. These are all risk factors. So we have things called risk factors, and risk factors are the other extenuating circumstances in a person's life that could help push them over the edge or contribute to the feelings of suicidal ideation, the feelings of hopelessness, that there is no future. I'm going to read to you some of these. There's some great resources out there. One of them is the Society for the Prevention of Teen Suicide. So the Society for the Prevention of Teen Suicide. I've given you a couple of websites on my other podcast, which you can find on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. The phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-TALK. Put in all numbers. It's 800-273-8255 or 800-273-TALK. And that is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And they're trained professionals who can talk to you. But if you have an immediate concern for someone's safety, just call 911. All you have to do, you don't have to be right. You don't have to know for sure. You don't have to be the one to assess it. Most times people that we're close to, we can't assess them. We don't want it to be true. We see all the different reasons, or we may be encouraged by a sudden state of happiness or a sudden state of less stress or not talking about it anymore. We want to wait and see if everything will pass. It's just hormones. It's just being a teen or whatever. It's a little bit easier to take a look at an elderly person and say, you know, they've got this diagnosis, they're 85 years old. Yes, they're at risk. We need to help them. Sometimes we don't see that so much in our teenagers because teenagers are moody. Teenagers have hormone surges. Teenagers go up and down. One day they're in love and the next minute they're not, and all kinds of things go on. So what are some of the warning signs that you can look at? Well, before we look at the warning signs, let's look at the risk factors. So some of the risk factors for anybody, but now we're going to focus on teens, but some of the risk factors, some. So when you go and you look up, try to look at reputable sources, find out how they came about, why they came about as far as teen suicide and teen suicide prevention. You can always go to some of the standbys. Mayo Clinic has a great video that I hope to have for a YouTube video. And it's from the Mayo, put out by the Mayo Clinic. So I hope to have that link up for you today. Just a YouTube short video, but it's a good one. So you look for the Mayo Clinic, the National Institute of Health or Mental Health. You can look up any university that may have just kind of look at that for the reference or the link. And then, of course, just basic suicide prevention. Some government resources are very good because it's a collective of so many different subgroups as well. What might be pertinent to them, whether you are Native American and there's certain aspects of that culture or the culture in our society that cause perhaps a risk factor that would not be there in another subculture of our society. But generally, we have these general risk factors. So the first one I want to talk about, this is, you need to think about these so you can think about yourself. Put yourself first. If you are having any kinds of suicidal thoughts, you need to stop this program and go to, and I'll give you a list of resources later on, but I'll say them now. You can call the National Hotline, Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. You can call a state if you don't have a physician to get a referral. You can call a mental health. There are suicide hotlines. Every state should have at least one, or I gave you the national. You can go to a mental health facility. You can go immediately to talk to someone who is an expert in the field and or who is there to help and listen, so that any, let's say, a priest, a nun that you might know as well as somebody at school, at work, a counselor, you can just ask a friend who goes to a counselor. There's just so many ways to get help. But most importantly, you need to get help, because when these glasses are put on, so to speak, when your life has taken such a collective turn that for whatever reason, and sometimes it's medication induced, certain medications that you may be taking may continue get you in this downward thinking, this depressed, despairing mood. That does happen as well. So most importantly, you get help now, because this is very serious. But let's talk about the risk factors. So some of the risk factors are habits or histories that put a person in a greater likelihood of entertaining suicidal thoughts or experiencing suicidal thoughts or experiencing that kind of depression and despair, because it's not just depression that will cause one to feel suicidal, but depression can lead to that. So it's kind of it's not as complicated as it sounds, but it's also very complicated. So it's kind of both, and we can't ever really parse it out. And I always say, err on the side of caution, err on the side of life, err on the side of living, err on the side of health. If you are wrong, so what? You're wrong. You've made a mistake, but you might save someone's life. So if you don't want to overstep your bounds, or you don't want to make them feel like you're suggesting something to them, whoever it could be, if it's your own child, if your child comes to you and talks to you about someone at school who mentioned that they don't want to be here anymore, or they think that their family would be better off without them, or they don't see a reason to live, or they think they're going to die young, whatever it could be, you take that seriously, because it is all of our responsibility, not just to say, gee, I hope that parent or I hope that person gets help, but you need to take that seriously, because that may be the link. That may be the lifeline where you then talk to the other person's parent. So this is all really, really important to not shy away from, to face head on. That's why I said earlier, the myth that if we speak about suicide, it's going to put an idea in someone who's already depressed heads. And we're finding that's not the case at all. All right, so some of the risk factors may be inherited, such as a family history of suicide. Now, this is a very important thing that we don't really think about a lot, but statistically, if you've had someone in your household, someone in your family, and not in your immediate family, but someone in your family who's committed suicide, you have a statistically higher risk factor or likelihood of entertaining suicidal thoughts. It's something that happens. Now, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You don't know. Is it genetic that somehow there's some kind of a chemical imbalance that comes through? Who knows? Could it be a behavioral or a more family culture thing where that becomes a way to handle problems? We really don't know. We can't really give the answer all, but the most important thing is that if someone in your family has committed suicide, then acknowledge that your risk factor has just gone up, and so has, or whoever is in your family's risk factor has gone up. Physical illness, anything that keeps someone that's out of your control. So you may have a physical illness, or someone in your family may have a physical illness, a bad physical illness. That can make, and when I say bad, I mean a very serious physical illness, rather something that cancer or some kind of neurological disease or anything. If you can recognize the risk factors early enough, you may be able to change the outcome, because some things you can control and other things you cannot control. But if you're the one who knows somebody, or it's your child you're thinking of, the control that you can exercise is you can keep them safe. Can always keep everybody safe. And anybody who's gone through that knows that you may look back and see risk factors you didn't see, but you do not beat yourself up about that, because you didn't see them. They didn't seem out of the ordinary. They might have been concerning, but you never would have guessed that that would happen. Oftentimes this follows a certain road, and people just don't see those risk factors until they're looking in hindsight. So when we come back from the other side of the break, we're going to continue the risk factors. I'm going to give you a little checklist to think about. I'm going to talk a little bit about the information from the Society for Prevention of Teen Suicide, a little something from CatholicNews.AmericanCatholic.org, and we will see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can call at 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me anytime, drmichellelive@breadboxmedia.com. Today we're talking about teen suicide or suicide in general, but we are talking mainly now about teen suicide. We tend to not understand, I think, as a country, how prevalent it really is. And believe me, there are surprising age group clusters, too, 45 to 54, where people are just having their families or their families are starting to grow. Let's say they might have young children at home at that age. And that's a very that's a large group. And the elderly males, especially. So we have these clusters that we see more popping up for whatever milestone those age groups are in life, or whatever's happening during those times in life. As I said in the early part of the program, males complete suicide more than females, but females may attempt it more. So we were looking at the risk factors before we broke, before we had the break. Now, there are so many good websites. We're going to try to give you some. But the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which is a government organization, and you find these government organizations interweave. They interweave with each other so that you may have one for mental health, one for substance abuse, but they all might touch on suicide. Then you might have one for suicide prevention specifically. Maybe addressing teens, addressing different age groups. So it's a good idea to get to see as many as you can, because it may just hit that one wording, that one sentence. Perhaps there's a risk factor that just rings a bell with you that you never thought of before. These things are all very important. But if you're listening to this program and you know somebody, or you yourself have felt suicidal, and suicidal meaning that you just don't feel like, people just go to the place where they feel that everyone around them would be better off without them. A lot of times kids do that too. Sometimes in a marriage where there's marital conflict, a child may feel like, well, if I wasn't here, mom and dad would get along better. I mean, just, you cannot be expected to understand what happens in a person's mind that gets them to that place. And you cannot be expected in hindsight to have seen things you just didn't see. We can't know. But at the same time, we might be able to prevent something right now. We might be able to help someone else. We may be able to help ourselves. So this is a very serious problem, but it's also a global problem in our world, in the entire world. It's a national problem, and we need to help each other. Sometimes it's your child that comes home and says that their friend has been acting differently, or their friend has said little things like, or giving away their toys, or giving away their little possessions, or saying self-defeating things about not wanting to go on, or nothing's going to ever happen for them, or they can't see themselves ever even living for a certain age. You've heard people say that, you hear a lot of guys say that, actually young guys oftentimes, I don't think I'm going to live past 20 or 30. They have a mindset in their mind, for whatever reason they do. They aren't necessarily suicidal. That's the danger in all this, is that some of the things that are said prior to a suicide attempt or suicidal completed or actual suicide, they can be chalked up to anything. Just feeling down. We all feel down. Just something, or a turn of events at school. So, but we have to take it very seriously. It causes immeasurable pain. No matter what a person is thinking at the moment, the pain of those left behind is something that you can't even imagine. None of us can imagine. I hope you never have to experience it. But it's immeasurable. You can hardly talk about it. It's a very difficult situation, the suffering, the loss. And it also sets the family up to have more suicide or more suicidal thought or attempts, because you then become that statistic that if there's a family member who's committed suicide, the rest of the family has now statistically a greater risk at someone else in that family committing suicide. So it's very complex. There's a combination of factors. We oftentimes cannot ever parse it out. Mental illness is a part of it. We do like to say, and I do say, because most of us, suicide is still rather rare, but it's too high when you think of the actual statistics. But compared to all the people living and all the people who go through very difficult things, it's a rare thing. What we have to do is to understand that when we talk about mental illness being something that we can work with and it's no stigma attached, it's true. But if you have a mental illness, it does increase your in a different statistical group there, that people with mental illness have more suicidal attempts and perhaps more completed suicides as well. Substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, really increases your someone's likelihood of having suicidal thoughts. Social isolation or exposure to violence, any kind of loss. So what we need to do is take a look and keep all those things in mind, so that when you're trying very hard to protect, let's say, your children from some of the things that are happening in your home, if they see them, feel them, if they have a loss, if there's just that one more loss on top of perhaps some other problems as well, this can also be a risk factor. So what do we want to look at? Previous suicide attempts, as I already said, psychological and mental disorders. Now I'm looking at the Society for Prevention of Teen Suicide. Any kind, depression, mood disorders, those are the big ones, schizophrenia even, and social anxiety, things that really, that are basically mental disorders. Substance abuse, big, very big one. Alcohol disorders, a lot of attempted suicide are in when the person is intoxicated with something. A history of abuse or mistreatment, so anyone who has been abused, has been traumatized, has been molested, raped, any kind of history of mistreatment or abuse, family history of suicide, feelings of hopelessness, physical illnesses, impulsive or aggressive tendencies. I'm reading from a list now from the Society for Prevention of Teen Suicide, also combined with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Relationship loss, financial or social loss, impulsive or aggressive tendencies, isolation or lack of social support, easy access to methods. I want to talk about that a little bit too, probably. We'll just mention that briefly before the break. If you have guns in the house, get rid of them, period. No matter what you feel about gun control, if you have someone in your house who has any of these risk factors, the gun should not be in your house, not just locked up or, quote, hidden. It just shouldn't be there. Your own prescription medications, you have to be very careful with those. You don't think that someone really notices, or that you think you've pretty much protected, but if someone is starting to plan, they're going to look for methods. So you want to remove the methods. Any method, you remove it from your house. You remove it. And if you're an adult and the other person's an adult, you don't just move it to your neighbor or to your brother-in-law, where your spouse or the other adult can go and talk them into giving it back to them. financial, we talked about, or social loss, the easy access or methods of suicide. So you have to be very careful about that. And any exposures to others who have committed suicide, we already talked about that. But there are protective factors too. And those are that we have support around us. We have hotlines. We're going to talk about in our last segment a little bit about the religious belief systems that we have, the cultural belief systems, and how sometimes in the Catholic world, and even as talked about in the AmericanCatholic.org, in Catholic News, that sometimes in our attempt to be inclusive, but still not quite certain, a little bit of confusion, we can give a message of isolation, a message of that furthers someone's feelings of isolation, loneliness, despair. And that's really important. So we're going to talk about that because we have a responsibility here. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, you have a responsibility to look at something from another person's point of view. And I think we as Catholics have a very big responsibility in this. If nothing else, to say, you know what, we really don't know at this point how we're going to go forward, because our language sometimes is can be very harmful, and that's not a good thing. So I want to go through this real quickly. If someone, depression is linked to suicide, because depression is by itself described as feelings of worthlessness, helplessness, hopelessness. And when the teens feel depressed, sometimes they can crash even further. So even though we all feel sad and low, teens go up and down, up and down, up and down. If it lasts a longer time, just a couple days, if you see a noted behavior difference, we're going to talk about all that on the other side of the break. I'll give you some things to kind of, a little quick checklist to look at some of the factors, and then we'll talk a little bit about the responsibilities inherent in just being a Catholic. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. We are walking this road together. We've got some very important topics to cover in this new year. Some of those topics are going to be looking forward, changing it up a bit to not dwelling so much in the negative and embracing some things that are more positive. But how to do that, how to do that realistically, how to do that in life, how to do that when you're facing hardships and troubles. Right before, on Christmas, actually. So, and I think it's something that we all have to really take a look at, because it's happening in our neighborhoods. It's happening on every socioeconomic level. It's happening in every ethnic group. It's happening all over the globe. And that is suicide. It does happen. It's happened for as long as we have recorded history that we know of. And at the same time, we do have these ups and downs. We have more now than we did, let's say, a few years ago, statistically. And, you know, so we really need to take a look at some of the factors that may be fueling this increase in especially teen suicide. So I want to definitely go to this Catholic News article that was actually several years ago, but it's still very pertinent today, because we have huge responsibility in looking at how we might react to certain lifestyles, certain situations that in and of themselves can be risk factors for suicidal thought and ideation, because it isolates the person. Or even if even if they don't appear as if they're isolated or they think they're very involved and engaged, oftentimes they do. So we stopped the last segment by looking at depression. The depression is linked to suicide in the way that it's different than just a down day or feeling low. There's usually the talk of not wanting to be here, not seeing a purpose, not seeing yourself in the future. However, there is also a very strict psychiatric diagnosis of depression. And people can have an atypical depression. They may not fit all these things. You have to kind of use your own judgment for yourself and for your loved ones. But it's if you feel down or sad, depressed most every day, most of the day for a few weeks or a couple of weeks, you could feel very irritable, angry, and agitated. Loss of interest in what you used to like. If your child is all of a sudden their extracurricular activities, their music, whatever it is that they really like, their sports, they just kind of don't care anymore. Significant weight loss or weight gain, increase or decrease in appetite. Either they sleep too much or they have a problem sleeping. They're very nervous or hyper, or they could be just the opposite, very sluggish and slow. No energy or fatigue. Or again, agitated energy or feeling unnecessary guilt and worthlessness. Those are all tip-offs that there may be a more serious depression going on than just feeling low. So you need to take that very seriously, again, especially in a teen. Now, there are lots of resources that I want you to take a look at. Again, if you start off with a national programs and national hotlines, there will be invaluable resources to help you address these kinds of, better to do it now if they're feeling fine, to talk about it in your family. They may know somebody, they may know a child, they may have a friend that is at risk for suicide and or is expressing suicidal ideation. So if you want to, you can kind of take a look if you're considering that your child might be depressed or you might have a suspicion that something is radically changing or starting to change, then you might want to look and look at just take a look and say, well, you know, how is this? How were they last month or last year or how were they 3 weeks ago? What's changed? And at least if you can say what has changed, it can help you perhaps go to the next step and look at go deeper into see. Sometimes we don't see the child changing before our eyes. So if you're worried about it at all, here are some of the facts. Here are some signs that your youth or someone you know is at risk for suicide. And especially if there have been any, even if they don't seem reasonable to you, if there have been any attempts at suicide in the past, take this very seriously. Again, if a child is sometimes, you know, really young, sometimes the person can be 9 or 10. If it's something that just was so obviously not going to lead to death, don't dismiss it as just something that was silly or that was their attempt. So feelings, there's the fact sheet actually from a suicide prevention website that gives you these facts, and an acronym is FACTS, FACTS. So fact is feelings, expressing hopelessness about the future, feeling down or depressed. Actions, displaying severe, overwhelming pain or distress. So if they feel, if their actions, they're displaying that they are in pain, they're in distress, they do feel it. No matter if you can see why or not, that is the action that you need to take seriously. Changes. So certain worrisome behavioral cues or marked changes, including withdrawal from friends, changes in social activities, anger or hostility, or changes in sleep. Threats. Talking about, writing about, or making plans for suicide. So if you see they're writing little stories about it, you find poetry, they're writing songs about it, take it very seriously. Situations, experiencing stressful situations, including those that involve loss, change, create personal humiliation, now keep that in mind, or involve getting in trouble at home or school or with the law, these kinds of situations can serve as triggers for suicide. So if you notice any of these warning signs, you can help. Again, you or your children's friends even, express your concerns about what you're observing in their behavior. Ask directly about suicide. Are you, do you think about suicide? Encourage them if they're an adult or if they are a teenager who perhaps is not in your, you can call this lifeline yourself, but to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255, and involve some adult that they trust. But you have to have, a ability, a commitment to yourself to not look the other way. And if you have an immediate concern, you just take the phone and you call 911 yourself. Okay. All right. So I want to get to this Catholic. Well, but you know what? I might not get that tomorrow because I want to get this in as well. When someone may be at risk for suicide and you're talking to them, stay calm. Take any threat seriously. Ask them directly, are you thinking of killing yourself? If you have a family member right now, if you have kids at home or teenagers, maybe get a referral system just in case. A community referral resource is available for mental health crisis. You can call it a mental health crisis hotline or intervention. But you need to stay firmly connected also with the person who is experiencing that. Don't just throw it out there and then walk away and hope that they do something about it. That talk, that lifeline I told you about, it's open 24/7. You can take the person, you accompany them, you go with them. You don't just suggest, you go with them. This is a very serious time. Err on the side of safety. Don't appear don't fear being overbearing. Don't fear being stupid. Don't fear of making a mistake. Just do what you do to err on the side of safety. And then you can provide any kind of care to the family and friends. So I want to get, I think we have a little bit of time to get to this Catholic News article. This was written by Carol Zimmerman, and it was written back in 2010. And she was citing a priest who, this was after this 18-year-old teenager at Rutgers, he was gay, jumped to his death from a bridge. And there was a priest who spoke out, a Jesuit, Father James Martin, and he was writing about in a blog that he had that Catholics can do a better job in reaching out to young gays and lesbians. Now, this is what I want to get to. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. We're going to suspend any, don't want to be a heretic or say anything against what the actual, we're not going there. I'm going toward the human being. That's all I care about right now. I care about the human being in pain. And all the rhetoric and all the dogma in the world is not going to connect or not going to help someone who is feeling so isolated and despairing, who may take language such as love the sinner, not the sin type of thing, where when you talk to a child who, or a teenager who is experiencing same-sex attraction, who might be feeling like they're really in conflict about their own gender, for whatever reason, and whatever you think or feel, you can isolate them just by your language. And don't think that they don't pick that up. The alienation they feel from their own parents. They want to hide. They want to hide what they feel that they are. It's very, very important because they feel, especially in the faith basis, not just Catholic. So it sounds like a conflict to them. Love the sinner, not the sin. Well, what does that mean if you're 13 years old and you have same-sex attraction? So it could really cause an isolation. We're going to leave this at a very controversial place. So we will continue this tomorrow. But I want you to think about it, because the most important thing you can do is to let your child know you love them, you are there for them. And if they ever have feelings of despair, you are there, or there is someone out there that can help them. Because number one, you
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.